0.
Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumbi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Sres, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chumbi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, good evening. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chumbi. I think it's quite important to thank Dwight with Home Run Program. And yeah, it's the time that we discuss about what is happening around, particularly in terms of business governance and economics. And we are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia, that is Eagle FM, wherever you are finding yourself. Some of you, you are in Texas on your way to, on your way home. Some of you, you are driving home. Some of you, you are walking home. Some of you, you are going to work. And some of you, you are planning to say, where am I going to spend the Monday? You know, there are those who do not have limit, particularly when to go out. Even on a Monday, you go out. But what is necessary is that who are you going out with? And what are you going to discuss? And what is the aim of that conversation? And what is very important is also that, are you asking yourself, who are those who are going out with? And what are they teaching you? It's always very important to understand that the simple definition of defining a person is about five people that you spend time with to say, if I want to know who you are, I don't need you to tell me everything about you. I need you to know who are your best friend or who are the people that you spend most of the time with. And it's up to you to say that, are you in a circle? Are you in a network environment or you are in a cage? Are those people the one who are pushing you to move forward or they are putting you down? And it's quite very important also to ask yourself that question. So that is, you know, some of the things that we need to look at, particularly when it's coming to life. And also, we are always telling people to say, no matter the situation on the jungle, let us look at positive thinking, and also let us do what is best for us and plan for tomorrow, which must not only tomorrow for the next day, but must be for long term. Yeah, there is a lot of things happening. There is a lot of things happening, especially, you know, when it's coming to politics and particularly political economy, and whether it's international, whether it's, you know, local. But what is very important is the question is that, what are we learning? What are we learning from this event? And also, what can we do? What can we do? Because it is necessary to ask the question to say, what do you need to do to be better? What do you need to do to be the best after dissecting, analyzing, and unpacking the public-private sector forum? And also, you know, the post-public-private sector forum, to understand that we need to find a way on how we work together as one, whether we are a different person in terms of ideologies, whether you are, you know, in private sector, you're in banking, you must admit that as you are speaking currently, Namibia is at a critical juncture where we need to find solutions to our problems. Number one, that is poverty, inequality, unemployment, and also, you know, looking at infrastructure and the quality of life too. And we need to understand and also find a way, how do we distribute resources evenly, or how do we bring back confidence of people to innovate, to think, and also to practically participate in national economic development, not only for a short-term goal, but also to make sure that, you know, the Namibia that you want, and also the Namibia that, you know, we are planning to leave, especially to the generation which is coming, because it's not correct, it's not right, it can be, you know, continue. And everybody agree, actually, to say there must be a way that we must find to work together, so that at least the life of an ordinary Namibian can be assisted. You know, I used to think I was suffering, but when I compare myself with others, I realize that I was the richest guy in comparison to people that I'm seeing and that I'm around. But I need to, and one thing that we need to understand is that a lay person, an ordinary Namibian who at one point, or maybe only has a primary education at the village, that person is suffering more than you who can even open the radio. There are people who did not, you know, who did not touch a bread over the past 2 weeks, and you think you are worse. But that should not be glorifying of poverty. But let us look at what are the key things that we need to do, particularly when it's coming to national development, when it's coming to domestic affairs, and what we need to do when it's coming to, you know, making things better. So before we come to the conversation for today, as today we are going to speak based on the role of academia and the researchers and scientists too in national development. And we are going to look at what are those things that need to be done, especially to strengthen academia and the role of academia. Is the role of academia only to teach and writing article, or there is a bigger role than that in national development? Those are the things that we are going to look at to say, when you speak about academia, who are those people? Are we only speaking about professors and, you know, doctors? Are we speaking about administrators, or what is the fraternity of academia? Who are the researchers of this world, and what is the necessity of a researcher in development of the country? Yeah, before we go there, we know when it comes to geopolitics and also continental affairs, you must be able to understand that you know, what's happening in Ivory Coast. President Alassane Ouattara is leading, especially when it's coming to preliminary elections. It was indicated that while the country awaits for a definite result for presidential elections, the Electoral Commission has announced that first result point overwhelming victory for the current president of Ivory Coast, or what is known as Côte d'Ivoire. Those are the countries of Didier Drogba and many others. Stated that Alassane Ouattara is leading. And remember, interestingly, one of the person who wanted to run, however, was prevented, is
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, looking at Ivory Coast, it's indicated that when it's coming to preliminary results of national elections, it's indicated that Alassane Ouattara is leading, just wait for, you know, for my elections. But what is very interesting is that, you know, one of the person who is contesting, is, the former first lady of Ivory Coast, that is Simeone Eviste Gbagbo. That is one of the contested in elections. And when you look at the history of Ivory Coast, you'll be able to realize that the Laurent Gbagbo, who was the president of Ivory Coast, was outseat by the current president, and at one point was also jailed. But seems like the wife want to reverse the gear. However, she's not making it, particularly when it comes to getting of election results. It was also very interesting to see had she won, would be very interested to see a former first lady become a president, and then the previous president become first gentleman. It would be very interesting to see. But looking at how things are now, especially in Ivory Coast, is not what it is. But looking in Cameroon, has indicated that 92-year-old Paul Biya was declared the winner of national elections, and that is that will mark more than 42 years in power, and will lead for another term. That is the 8th term. And if you are 42 years and you are in Cameroon, understand that when you are born, Paul Biya was already a head of state and will continue to do so. If you are born, after that, it's quite something that a lot of people they have seen. It's the only person that they have seen in their life, particularly when you are comparing with statistic in line with African majority of the population, which is below the age of 30. Be able to understand that when he's coming to that side of Cameroon, we realize that, Paul Biya is doing very well. So it's also a question of asking to say, it could be that the man is like this, could be that the man is doing well. But when you look at development, sometimes there is a saying to say even the greatest dancer must know when, what time to leave the dancing floor. Because you people cannot, there is always time to come in, and also time to come out, because you don't need to lose your value on the stage. That's why even the greatest dancer, they know when to come on the stage and also when it is enough. But that is African politics for you. African politics for you. And it's not the first one. It's not the first one. It's not the first one. Extension of years is something that has been happening, particularly in Africa. When you look at what Djibouti is also trying to do, they are also trying to expand the age limit of the presidency, particularly when it was constitutionally, made to be at 75. But they would like the current head of state to continue. But those are measures of laws and domestic interest. And when you look at our friend at Zim, I was actually looking and compare what the head of state have said beforehand and is happening. So, like, there is an extension of 2 years to the term, indicated that the reasoning is stability and also economic improvement. But yeah, that is what is happening. However, our discussion for today is based on the role of academia, the role of researchers in national development. One would like to look at there is a statement which was made by Antonio Guterres, that is the Secretary General of United Nations, especially when it comes to the role of researchers and academicians. He was making this statement when he was speaking at the World Meteorological Organization Extraordinary Congress in Geneva, who stated that scientists, the researchers, should never fear telling the truth. I stand in solidarity with you, with all scientists, and I always will. Now, this is also one of the things that, must be critically interrogated, to say, where do we draw the line between real academicians, real researchers, and also those who just collect the data and interpret them to their own advantage? Because a simple definition of academician is somebody who study the subject deeply, particularly at the postgraduate level. And most of these people are found at a high institution of learning, either is at the college, either is at the university, at the Technic, or in some incidents found at think tanks and also research institution. And most of these people, most of these professionals, they can come from different fields, can be theoretical. You can be a theologian, but you're an academician. You can be a mathematician, but you're an academician. You can be a medical scientist. But most of the time, in academics, they teach, they do research, and their role was supposed to complement the role of government. In developed countries have a strong and, effective academics, because these are the people who can give academic opinion. And when they give academic opinion, they also backed their reasoning, not only to say it's an opinionated view, but based on the knowledge of the subjects. But when you're asking yourself, particularly in line of economics, in line of politics, in line of laws, in line of engineering, you are asking yourself to say, where are the Namibian academicians? What is their role to national development? And is there a line which is drawn to say between academicians and also politics, and also between researchers and also politics, and when how do these people assist each other in national development? Because one thing that you need to do, one thing that you need to look at, you know, when I started getting interested in data, I'm always interested in those who spend more time in their field of study, particularly in researching, to say, where are we standing in terms of numbers? Where are we standing in terms of quantifying of issues? Because when you listen to the conversation of Early Morning Scoop today, we gave a reference to say, at public-private sector forum, one of the economists, well-known economists, stated that I'm rephrasing it to say, you cannot lie to yourself that you are moving forward if you cannot measure what you are doing and what you want to do. And that is not only measurement in terms of numbers, and also measurement in terms of impact, to say, for the past 35 years, we don't just need to blame those political leaders, because it could be that political leaders act on the data or act on information that they thought would assist them, but could not really assist them, particularly in making decisions. But here is where we are coming to say, what is the authenticity, the quality, and also the content of Namibian academicians, particularly their role in national development? Are the academician independent? What are they contributing? And also, are they assisted in driving national priorities? And what can be done to make sure that we move forward? Before we go there, we'll go to a short commercial break. Then we'll look at one of the documents, particularly which was written in line with the subject not being discussed today, especially when it's coming to the role of academician in national development, and also to look at, to say, what are the quality and contents of our researchers, and are the researchers and scientists real, or they are also protecting what they are bred? Because one thing that you need to know, when you have is for example, you have if you want to see the importance of academicians, is that when there is a certain disease, for example, then you can be able, and somebody can be able to do research and find medication for that, or somebody can be able to come up with a certain machine which can diagnose this person. This machine, the result of a machine which is diagnosing the disease of a person, does not need to like anybody. The result of that machine does not need to follow any person's emotions, but is tending to say, chief, you have COVID-19, you have certain diseases, HIV or anything, and your blood sugar level is at this level, and you need certain kind of, medical attention. Now, that is from a medical perspective, to say somebody developed this, and you don't need to say, no, this one is a bad machine, can bring me problems. It's the truth on the matter. Now, when it's coming to politics, you have political scientists. When it's coming to legal affairs, you have legal scholars, people who study laws in and out, every act one-to-one, until they understand it in and out, either it's domestic law or international law. When it's coming to business, you have academicians, teachers and researchers. But the question that we are asking is that, are these researchers and academicians playing their roles in their respective fields? And if they are doing so, what methodologies and mechanisms are they using? And why are we not moving the way we are supposed to move? Because it's one thing to present data. It's one thing to use data to your national advantage of development. Because if, for example, you have statistics, you have developmental researchers, you have statistics which beforehand indicated that certain level of infrastructure was here, or there is no or more than 50% of people within a certain village council, a certain village councils, you know, are not or are living in an informal sector, then you need to come up with a game plan to say, what are your recommendation into that? What are your recommendation to that? But if what have been published, what have been spoken about, particularly Namibian academician, was not really used, then the question is that how strong is Namibian academic fraternity? And are there our researchers also telling us the truth? Because one thing that we need to know, and what was indicated, and what I actually found out is that coordination matters. Because you can find a very brilliant leader who understands what he or she wants. But if you give that brilliant leader wrong data, the decision will be wrong. And the result will be terrible. Now, how should researchers and academics tell the truth and assist in national development? Now, the question you need to ask also yourself is that how come we speak about industrialization, for example, but our investment or most of our budget or larger proportion of our budget is operational than developmental? Then you ask also yourself to say, why do we speak about industrialization where larger proportion of our budget is on social welfare? Because industrialization was supposed to be on industries. Where is the guidance in terms of that? Then you'll be able also to say that somewhere, somehow, it could be that we need those who bring out data and also guiding data. And there is also one critical issues. One of the critical issues that we need to look at the same. If an academician enter a certain area, then started being, let us get the commercial break, then we come back.
Großartige Neuigkeiten. Imba ist jetzt noch besser geworden. Wir haben brandneue Funktionen hinzugefügt, um dein Erlebnis noch reibungsloser, schneller und leistungsstärker zu machen als je zuvor. Bereit, das volle Potenzial von Imba freizuschalten? Erhalte alle exklusiven Funktionen für nur 36 Namibia-Dollar pro Monat oder spare noch mehr mit unserem speziellen Abonnementplan. 5% Rabatt bei einem 3-Monats-Abonnement, 10% Rabatt bei einem 6-Monats-Abonnement oder 25% Rabatt bei einem 12-Monats-Abonnement. Wähle den Plan, der am besten zu dir passt und genieße alles, was Imba zu bieten hat, zu einem unschlagbaren Preis. Imba, where the world congregates. Lade es herunter und abonniere noch heute.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chemi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Hey, it's almost 1800 hours! Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM,
Yes, it's 32 minutes past the hour of 6. We are progressing at an understandable pace toward the hour of 1900 hours. And you can engage us in the studio at 083-288-401. Now, when you are here, there is one thing that Exit mentioned. The musician mentioned that there is no better degree than business. But when you start looking at that, you realize to say he actually has a point. When you go to academia, the most expensive degree, if you go to Oxford and Harvard and many other top university in the world, is an MBA actually. It's a Master's of Business Administration. Now, maybe I've been offering certain courses of business, MBA, in various universities and colleges. And also qualification in entrepreneurship and all these things. And we have been speaking about business registration, business starting of business, expanding SMEs, and you know, all those areas. Now the question that one would be able to ask to say, what is the structure, the intention, and the design of a business school? What is the structure, intention, and design of a business school? One of them is to produce top executives who can lead industries, industry chiefs, or you know, captains of industries. Many CEOs, they have certain qualification in business, but one of the fundamental aims, when you look at other developed countries, you realize to say that is one of the industry which one of the courses or one of the areas which produce a lot of real entrepreneurs. Some of them, they do not even finish. They go there for their skills. They get a short course. They go to Silicon Valley. When you speak about the developed world, when you go to other countries, also the same. To say somebody go to school, study an MBA, while they are doing that, they are already busy doing their planning. And actually, institutions, they are already looking at that. Those students to fund them and operate their businesses. Now, the question that you are asking yourself is what we are asking ourselves, that could it be that our business schools, our academicians in that line have failed? Could it be that they need to do better? Could it be that they focus more on producing industrial leaders instead of innovators and entrepreneurs? Could it be that, there was a certain area of realignment, and what can we do about it? What can we do about it? Could it be that the aspect of research was more considered on research to pass, not research to build? Could it be that those are the areas that we need to look at? Because remember, it was supposed to be this way, to say every constituency councillor was supposed to have a researcher. Not somebody who is, highly qualified, but somebody who understands developmental issues. Every, when the constituency, especially nowadays, when they are making this, they were supposed to have researchers, people who are verifying and analyzing their data. Because you cannot come to a poor community and still speaking about ideology at this point in time. Just an ideology. We are already behind. You can, and it's actually not correct. You cannot come to a certain poor community and you want to develop and you don't have a project at hand. Just vote me because I'm not a sellout. I'm standing this ideology. I've been standing with it ideology. We must come to the point to say, man, at least I need to stand on certain numbers. Because if you are dealing with real researchers who are honest with us, to say the main pressing issue in my constituency, in my location, in my village is crime, for example. How do we handle this one? What are the age of people involved in criminal activities? What is the motivation between that? And what are the interventions? You don't just speak to say, no, these guys from this side, or these guys who do like this, they do, they steal, or they break, or they do vandalism. You don't have data. What is the motivation behind that? And not only to wait from a bigger institution like NSA, which at some point can also skip statistics based on the lack of funding. But if we come to the point of embracing and respecting, researchers, you can come to the point to say, We have researchers within constituencies. We have researchers within, different department. You can even come up with a survey to say, what is the view and feelings of people about the project which was stated? It could be that that project that we have introduced is only good for you, and people do not understand it and do not want it, or they want something else. Look, for example, you know, there was a very short survey done on payment deductions, a system. Beforehand, government had already made a decision, but the certain institution come up with a study, and results were presented. But you know, I'm not saying it's the influence of the decision of the government to expand what they wanted to do, especially when they wanted to about the system, when they wanted to remove that system. I'm not saying it's the reason they push, but one you need to understand that you must know what people want, what people need, not only by looking at them. Person want medication, you give him food, a bag of food. What if a person die tomorrow? You do not have information. That's why today we are also not only looking at those who are making decision. We are looking at to say, is our academics, standing up? And also one interesting question. I was speaking with Dr. Sioni Kera. He's the dean of the Faculty of Environmental and Sustainability Studies at International University of Management. And I was speaking to him. We had a very good conversation. Then I speak to say, no, how is coordination, collaboration, particularly with researchers and academics? Say, no, that is something that we need. Very diplomatic to say, institution we're supposed to collaborate, particularly academicians. And we actually had this thing, and it was wrong. When you go to a certain university in Namibia, you think others are not doing very well. It was unnecessary competition. And I think it was also created to say, no, we are at here, others are at here. Now, at this university, we are the best in engineering, we are the best in law, we are the best in what. But that was not supposed to be the case. The case was supposed to be, how do we complement each other? Now, the way the academic institution are operating, and I'm saying this with much respect, maybe with also the intention of us to change. It's like, it's a competitive ground to say, this, they are that. We are better at this, they are not good at that. Why do you think we are where we are? Could it be that our academicians also failed us? Because if you have a PhD in, which course is so theoretical? Maybe you have a PhD in philosophy. When you have a PhD in philosophy, you study, thinking, you study critical thinking. You have a PhD in philosophy, and your job is to think and solve problems, to advise and also understand, particularly on the matters of ethics. Ethics, norms, and also, principles of the society. Now, with that aspect to say, apart from you just being a lecturer, apart from you just, being confined to academic environment, have you ever worked within a certain institution to say, man, let us work on this organizational culture, for example. Let us work at this, ethical principle guideline. Let us work within solving a certain problem in the community. If you have a PhD in social work, a PhD in psychology, for example, because we are always very happy to read. We read these people, these guys, and I've seen a lot of young people are doing it. They are reading these TikTokers, some of them, they are talking about real critical issues, about human development, about mental capacity. But some of these guys that you are reading into, you did not really verify. Some of them, they are not even experts. What they are telling you is not correct. That's why in China now, there is a certain policy which was passed to say, if you want to discuss issues of health on TikTok, you must at least have a certain degree, because you are influencing people. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that, let us look at the issue of mental health, for example. How many psychologists in Namibia have written books based on, Namibian environment? Then they go deep to say this mental illness or mental condition is caused by a certain area. Is it caused by, you know, is it financial depression? Is it relationship issues? Is it a certain medication that people are taking that is not in line with their mental, you know, chemical composition? But we are just talking, and we do not have research and data. And I'm not a married man, but I like following Meme Kapadhi. She wrote a book about marriage, and we want more people, Namibian people, to do. To do not in that field of marriage and other things, but to do other things within their field. That's only way that we can sort things out on our own, solving our own problems in this country. So that is the only way that we are going to work things out. When it comes to law, and this one especially to those who go to law school, especially to those who studied the legal system. Namibia is known to have a best constitution if not in the world, in Africa, to say best constitution. We are very good with democracy and all the principles of democracy. But the question is that, what is the contribution of our legal scholars? What is Namibian legal law schools are producing? We have a lot of institutions which are offering law degrees and courses. What is their contribution to a Namibian legal system? In actual fact, there is a lot of loopholes in Namibia legal system that commercial lawyers, they are using to their advantage. But nobody studied and said, let us fix this system. Nobody studied and said, no, the legal system has holes, guys, and let us study this legal system and fix it. Because that is the role of researcher and academician to say, why, for example, the state losing money in a lot of cases against it? Why the state is losing a lot of money? Why the state is failing to lose a lot of money? I was shocked, but not really to say, you know, I did not expect it to happen. When you see, for example, there was a time a minister of justice lost the case. And it's not a normal thing. And there was a case, you know, come and pay money to civilian based on a lot of cases being lost. Then you're asking the question to say, who is responsible to fix these holes within our legal system? How many of, and I know people, judges, they don't be spoken about because they are the highest, the custodian of the constitution. But the judicial system must also be held accountable respectfully to say how many judges, when they retire, they write something. What have they seen? There is one guy, it's actually not a guy, it's a senior counsel advocate, Moses Kakane, who wrote a book, The Meme of a Black Advocate, something like that. Somebody who observed to say, no, I reach a point where I have a lot of money, where I advise, top guys have cases, they come to me and I deal with it professionally, I advise, and they have respected that certain standard. And at one point, that guy was I think it's a president of Pan-African Advocates Association of, you know, African Black Advocates, something like that. But he came to the point to say money is really nothing. Actually, let us not say money is nothing until we have a lot of money. But he said money is actually not a motivation anymore. He want to one day to fix a system. That's why he found what are the challenges in South African legal system and what can we do about it. Now we want to develop, we have a good plan, but how many of academicians studied about our plan, the vulnerability of the plan, the doability of that plan, and also what need to be done to make sure that this plan is realized? How many of academicians studied, particularly from governance? Because the good thing, for example, when you look at NDP6 and other many plans, you can actually have cross-cutting academicians from various, faculties to study about that. You can have somebody from engineering to study about that. To say, in terms of NDP 6, in terms of infrastructure development, for example, what is the plan in the next 5 years? In terms of the economy, where is the money going to come from? What is the strategy? What are the supporting, programs to that strategy? Because when you look at NDP 6, it's a broader vision and everybody has a role to play. That's why in dissecting and expanding that NDP 6, you need now people from different academic backgrounds, some who are from academicians, even think tanks to say, when you speak about oil and gas, how are we going to achieve what we want to get? What are the challenges on the way? Can we compare with other countries how they did it? Speak about green sector. What are the challenges in that? If you speak about funding, what are the challenges and what are the opportunities? If you speak about financing, I'm sure nobody have predicted that our budget will have a shortage of around 3 billion. And nobody predicted that, there would be no enough data, or data would not be presented, particularly in terms of reporting on progress of project. Nobody have predicted that. But now, from here, what are we learning moving forward? Everybody spoke about the financial inclusion. How many academicians came forth? How many researchers came forth and go on the ground? And so understand to say, where are the people now? Because otherwise, if we are not tutorizing our academicians, if researchers start manipulating data, or if researchers start to be scared of advising in a true manner, we will not move forward. Because the good thing about having data, either it's quantitative or qualitative, is that when you present those data to your principal or to your senior who is in charge of making decisions, we are not saying you must tell the person to say, no, this plan is not going to work. You must indicate to say, how can we use this data to navigate this problem and move forward? So, dear listeners, you can engage us at 083-288-401. Today we are speaking about researchers. How many researchers do we have within the region? How many researchers do we have within the region? And what can we do to expand that area of research? Because we speak about research and development, but we spend less than 3% of our GDP in R&D. And we wonder why things are not balancing. Because now you have everybody on board, but the data are missing. How do we move forward? And how do we respect that within any institutions? Why do the banks respect researchers so much? Because they want to protect their money. And you are asking yourself, the organizational structure of banks, especially commercial banks in Namibia, who motivated that? Is that our Namibian program? But the fact of the matter is that people are protecting their finance. But you can only protect your finance when you have data. And with data, you must also know how to use the data. Now, I wanted to read something, especially you cannot speak about academicians without referencing academics. It's quite an insult to those who did the research. Yeah, there is a researcher by the name Wayne Henry, who at one point was the chairman and director general of Planning Institute of Jamaica, and wrote an article about the role of academia in national development, making our vision 2030 a reality. That was written in 2019, but the main important thing about the researcher, he looked at the 9 years ahead, or 10-year plan of the Vision 2030, not the Namibian Vision 2030, but the planning of Vision 2030, because we have other institutions, other countries, even SADC and UN, they have Vision 2030. But one of the things, the question that Henry asked is, what can academicians do in support of national development? And one of the things, the central role that was established is informing the ideologies and developmental paradigms, proving multidisciplinary dimension expertise in a wide range of area of critical and for national development, increase the stock of knowledge. Now, let's look at the stock of knowledge, because there is a saying to say, academic students and researchers, they are co-creators of knowledge. Through debates and provocation, in terms of your thinking, disruption in terms of thinking, you'll be able to come up with new, you'll be able to come up with new areas of reasoning. Because just ask yourself this question to say, have you ever went to class with your own reality? But when you enter into a certain debate, or when you are presented with a counterfact, you realize to say the world is not like this. But doing that to a certain level with higher researching tools and capacity, you can be able to come up with not only reasoning abilities, but problem-solving abilities.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Shombe from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM,
Yes, dear listeners, we have 5 minutes before we give the mic to Uncle Fly with Tuma program. And we are looking at Business and Economic Segment. We are looking at academician and researchers. What is the role of researchers? Is it now a high time that we should empower the graduates with research skills, particularly not only research skills in terms of their courses, but research skills in terms of industrial research? To say, if you are an engineer, you become a graduate researcher for a certain period of time before we take you into the certain field. If you are a lawyer, at least become a legal researcher for a certain period of time before you come to the field. And what are you going to contribute? Look at those challenges. If you are a nurse, go to that area of public health research. And our institution must empower us to solve our problem, because not all the problems that we have should be solved by external, developmental partners. It shouldn't be like that, because some of the things... Imagine you should have waited for somebody to come and say, no, do not implement that strategy, or do not make that decision, because it's going to cause chaotic activities. Now, I want you to look at, for example, what have happened with, NAMPOST starting, administering pension money. And, at one point, my colleague, Nakreta wrote a very, I'm always looking at that. It's not a laughable thing, but, one of the senior, just fell down because was so frustrated by the system of, NAMPOST on that line, especially when it's coming to administration of pension money. But, the question that you're asking yourself is to say that who informed this decision? Was there a research done? In the area of effectiveness, in the area of capacity, in the area of speed, and also assisting people, especially when it comes to new things, particularly realignment of things, particularly introduction of new system. because introduction of a new system always requires somebody to do research and also make decisions. Who thought in our previous elections, or would have elections more than 2 days? Who thought that where are the researchers in terms of logistics, in terms of planning and development? Because a lack of data, lack of information, you are operating in bright and you are losing a lot of money because everything you do is a pilot thing. Everything you do is a pilot thing because you do not understand. And there is a possibility of having a lot of white elephant projects. And there is also a possibility of not completing what you have started because you are not informed by data. You could have very good vision, but if your academicians are not empowered, there is no way that we are going to, you know, to have a clear, well-informed data. But maybe the question is that what do we need to do? Let us take R&D not only as part of business, not only a part of what need to be done, but the main thing to say, research drive development, research promote innovation, research allow people to have time to think, research, and, you know, do what they do best, particularly those who are in line of acquiring knowledge and trying new things in that field. Because that is the only way, that's the only way that we are going to do it better and also differently. So, dear listeners, thank you very much. And let's look at the caller. Good evening.
Good evening. Time.
yeah, just 1 minute.
The research.
Yeah.
I don't think as Namibians or African, we are relying on the data as the resources of planning. Because if you look at even a National Planning Commission, they doesn't know where the GDP are generated. Advising the government, and at the end of the day, if you look at even the health system of Africa, they are doing, they are sometimes presenting things that they know it were remitted. For example, birth rate and all of those things that they were doing before. It were impacting the health of the children.
Yeah, but when I look at the banks have more data, and they are investing more in their research.
No, that one is responding. It's not really a data, it's a responding, because if you look at the demand, it's already giving you that here it we need him to pay more attention because of the demand. As I say, the National Planning Commission doesn't have those things of saying the GDP is growing with what? The GDP, country GDP is growing.
Yes,
with what?
Thank you. Let's talk tomorrow time, and thank you for input.
Okay.
Yes, for me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now, and see you around.